welcome back to another Atlanta Sales Talk Radio show, and we have a wonderful show for you tonight. Tonight, today, whatever that time is that you're actually listening to. And we're going to be talking about sales, and in this case, we're going to be talking about social selling. I have a wonderful guest here with Mr. Brian Backoffner. We'll be having him introduce himself momentarily. And, of course, I'm here also with my co-host and producer today, Mr. Andy Lowe.
Steve, how's it treating you out there so far?
It's a beautiful day. The trees are flowering, and all's good, man.
80 degrees and sunshine. You got to start wearing some UV protection on that head again
these days,
right?
Yeah, we got to start putting that on. Thank you very much for that reminder. And, yeah. And, of course, we have also joining us is going to be Miss Eileen Amira, who shall be here momentarily and being able to share more about her story. So that's from Lee Hecht Harrison. So with that, Mr. Backoffner.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's good to have you here. So this is our first time we've talked and we've communicated on all kinds of social platforms for the last probably year, right? And now we're face-to-face, so it's kind of a real-world meetup, so to speak, huh?
It's the new paradigm of business, right?
The new paradigm, that's right. The old is now new. I like that idea. So it's good to see you face-to-face. And so tell us about Brian.
Well, I am originally from Chicago. Moved to North Carolina, where I live today, in Charlotte. Lived there on and off for about 14 years. Married, have two kids, Cameron and Trey, and two dogs, two little Westies.
Mm-hmm.
And really spent my entire career in what I would say to be the data industry. Started my career with Experian, working out of the office here in Atlanta, as well as some time in California, transitioned to Dun & Bradstreet before coming over here to Inside View. So really my passion throughout my career has been really helping people understand how to leverage data in their workflow to make them better organizations. So,
got it. So when you say data, not the data industry, but the data management, data intelligence, if you will.
Hopefully intelligence.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's a good point, because data could be not intelligence.
Data can go sit somewhere and do nothing,
that's
right?
A
it's
good
all
point.
About what the people are armed to do with.
Good. Well, I already like you even more now that you have some Westies.
There you go.
And kids, I guess that's the next too, right? So I'm assuming there's a wife in somewhere in the mix?
Carrie, yes.
Right.
We've been married for, it will be 10 years on May 18th. Happy pre-anniversary, honey.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, give a good shout out to Carrie. I'm putting up with this guy for 10 years. All right, congratulations. So with that, now Chicago to Charlotte, let me ask, I'm just curious. So how was that transition? I know I came from Connecticut to Georgia. That wasn't that bad, but that was 15 years ago. But Chicago to Charlotte 10 years ago?
It was 1994 when my parents first relocated. I was in college at Bradley University in a beautiful town called Peoria, Illinois, most notably for being known for being the headquarters of Caterpillar Tractor, and that's about it. I came in 1995, and it was a little bit of culture shock. I wasn't a city boy from Chicago. We grew up in the suburbs, but moved to Charlotte in a time really before it started the breakout growth that it went through over last 10 years with all of the banking consolidation.
Yeah.
My neighborhood that my parents moved into, I got off the highway exit and had to drive by a horse farm and a field of cows before I got to the subdivision. Mm-hmm. So that was a little bit of a culture shock for me. Understanding that I speak way too fast, as I'm probably speaking too fast this morning, needing to kind of mellow out and into the Southern culture. I've adapted to it well. I think if you could see me today, you could see that I'm dressed very Southernly. And it's a nice part of my identity, and we enjoy living
down
here. Yeah,
those salmon pants you have on are a little bit of a push here in the Georgia area. But
well, they're crimson.
Crimson, sorry about that.
Yeah, so I guess I should be wearing them in Alabama.
My color palette.
But then you got to adapt to the three R's. That's a big culture change right there, right? I mean, we're taught reading, writing, and arithmetic, but in North Carolina, I understand it's racing, wrestling, and religion.
Absolutely. The number of churches was something a bit startling, and I was of age when I moved here, so the ability to go and buy spirits was a little challenging for somebody that grew up in Illinois. knowing when and where to go find a bottle of Jack Daniels was something that I had to figure out rather quickly.
Absolutely. So that's good. So now you're in Inside View, with Inside View, and I know they have a big push around, or they have the Social Selling University, so I want to talk a little bit about that. But really, so you're in Inside View, so what is it that you're doing, and you have some love around data and actually people utilizing it sounds like, more so than just data on the shelf?
Absolutely. So it was a big revelation for myself to come to Inside View, and a little bit about the background of our company. Our company was founded by a gentleman by the name of Umberto Maletti. He's our CEO and our founder. And he founded the company for one reason. The reason being that he had founded and run companies with sales organizations for a few years. He founded a company in the late 90s called Digital Think, a company that was a e-learning, and was very frustrated by what he felt to be the lack of intelligence of the salespeople that were calling on him as a CEO. Mm-hmm. He even deals with it today. So, you know, as a small business owner and somebody that's running a company, a lot of people want to sell to Umberto, and he gets very frustrated by the unpreparedness, by the general shouting of pitches, and just general, you know, me first behavior.
Right.
That he said, well, can we leverage the traditional type of sales data that's been available, some stuff that's available in the yellow pages, some stuff that's available online, but more importantly, find a way to serve that to salespeople in a way that they can synthesize that and use that to have a relevant business conversation.
Got it. That makes sense. I think that's a big thing. I think it's a revelation, too, in a lot of ways. Of it's not about me, the salesperson, and we all have those stories of salespeople that we know. It's enough about me. Why don't you tell me about me? It's more about I have to understand what's important to the customer, right? And also what's important, but I need to know about my customer. And the information is available out there.
And you need to know it and present it in a way that in 30 seconds to a minute window that somebody is going to agree to meet with you. I read a lot. I read a lot of sales books. I just read a lot of books in general. I haven't read The Hunger Games yet, although all three of those books are sitting waiting for me. My wife just finished them. But just had the ability to meet with Jill Conrath on Monday mm-hmm. at the Inside View's first annual customer gathering, which we called The Summit. And Jill wrote a great book, came out about a year and a half ago, which is, you know, Snap Selling, which is this mm-hmm. whole idea that people are very busy. So if you're going to help them, you need to help them understand very quickly how you're going to help. And the traditional tell me about your business way of selling that we've all kind of been comfortable with for the last, you know, 20 years doesn't necessarily work anymore. Not because people don't want to share, not because people don't want you to help them, but because there's so many other things and competing priorities in our day-to-day lives that, you know, we need to be able to do that very quickly.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to stick you on the spot here then,
yes.
Brian. Give me the 30-second. What's Inside View going to do for me as a business owner and in sales?
As a business owner or somebody that's got a sales force, mm-hmm. Inside View will do two things. It will help increase the relevance in their conversations with prospects and customers by pulling information that's available through multiple sources and presenting it in a way that's relevant and synthesized into something that a salesperson can do research in a minute versus 20. It's going to help increase their connection rates with new prospects because they're going to start to leverage things like social connections in their process because they're much more likely to get a meeting with somebody if they know somebody that they know than if they're doing something purely cold.
So you basically turn cold calling into a warm process, but you're educating them also. You're arming them with information.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about, you know, people in the industry like to say that cold calling is dead. I don't know necessarily that the activity of picking up the phone and calling somebody that doesn't know you is ever going to die. I think what the person on the other end of that phone does as far as talking about maybe shared interests, talking about a business event that they saw that's mm-hmm. or a relevant industry piece of information that you can share, that piece of it is changing. You know, but you're still going to need to make a bunch of dials. You're still going to need to use email and other channels to connect with people. It's just what you say when you actually do connect with them.
Yep.
That's the real fundamental shift.
Good. That makes sense. I'm tracking with you real well. I mean, is that a good enough pitch, 30 seconds? I think that made sense.
Yeah, I liked it. And I think it highlights something that I thought was interesting, which is you guys aren't just another data source. I mean, there are a lot of lead list places out there where you can get names and contact information. But you guys provide something beyond that, which really does give that substance to have that conversation.
Yeah. So, you know, we had the ability to have the summit on Monday, and we had the VP of marketing for Marketo, John Miller, come talk. Mm-hmm. And he said something that really hit home with me. He said, you know, if you're using Salesforce.com, whatever type of CRM platform you're using, you should rename the tab leads because there's no such thing as a lead to a salesperson. Lead is a very marketing-centric term, right? A connection is probably more apt for a salespeople, an interested party, right? So, and we at Inside View actually have changed some of our branding and some of our messaging around that point, Andy, around, you know, data, which is sell to people, not contacts. Somebody is not their business card. You know, with the advent of social media and LinkedIn and Twitter and now Pinterest and Facebook, you have the ability to do more research and be more informed about who that person is. So it's not just I get your email and your phone number and I'm going to call you and I'm going to vomit my pitch all over you.
Right.
I'm going to leverage something that I know about you into a relevant conversation because, you know, if you're using Twitter, for example, and you're checking in somewhere and that was an industry event that you may have also been at or your company was at, that's a good opening line, right? That's something that you can lead with that, you know, they went to that conference for a reason. They're probably pretty bought into it. And that's really going to start a conversation flowing versus this is what we do. Does that sound good? Can you tell me a little bit about what you do or, you know, tell me about your business, right?
Yeah.
We want to get away from that.
Really, just more about the connections, being able to make that drive and make that. I think that's actually brilliant because I think if you think about, I like that idea of changing that tab from a lead to a connection, someone who's interested. There's a lot of power to that because, you know, that's the whole thing of marketing automation. As you think about it, as we're scoring leads. Well, here's a lead with a connection. That's going to be a lot more powerful and impactful to me as a sales guy than it would be if it's just a lead because I think it might be somebody they have a need for my particular service or product. Brilliant. I like that idea.
Yeah, and actually one of our customers, a company by the name of Network Hardware Resale, they essentially sell used networking equipment. Their senior VP of sales, a gentleman by the name of Michael Lodato, spoke on Monday. He's been kind of a good sounding board for us, has actually changed the way that they do lead routing within his company. Traditionally, if you're an inside sales team, you support a field organization, you have inbound leads come in, people that went to webinars, people that went to a trade show, et cetera. And the lead assignment is very either geographical, industry, size of business, right? So, Steve, you're in Atlanta. You're going to get everything in Atlanta. You know, you're the enterprise guy. Any company with more than 1,000 employees were given to Steve. What they've done at Network Hardware is actually flip that on his head and actually start to assign leads based on what they call social proximity. So if we get a lead that comes in the door, even though that it's based in Atlanta, but Brian Backoffner, who's based in Charlotte, actually has multiple contacts and connection points to that company, they're going to assign that to me because my ability to leverage a warm referral through a contact to have a meaningful conversation with that business is much more likely than giving it to somebody that just happens to be in the territory but may not have any connection or any experience selling to that company. So it's this idea of using intelligence not only in the conversation portion of the sales force, but actually in thinking about the top of the funnel and the way that we give people business.
Right. No, I'm struck by how common sense that is based on the advent and the creation of social media and the social mesh, as we call it. And I'm thinking to myself, this is... It's common sense, but it's groundbreaking ideas. And I think about the clients and people that I work with, and Andy, you might echo with this. I'm thinking they're still trying to get their hands around what is sales to a certain extent, right? And how do I grow my business?
Right.
And you're bringing, you know, arguably sales 2.0 type ideas, but some pretty common sense, but some pretty advanced stuff that's, it works. You're seeing that's how it works. Social proximity. What a phenomenally interesting and great idea. But yet, how is that going to be accepted? I mean, trying to explain that to a whole audience. Now you're doing a whole level of education. I have to imagine that's what Inside View is having to do right now.
Yeah, a large portion of our marketing outreach, and you talked earlier about our Social Selling University, which is you can find at socialsellingu.com, is really this idea of educating. Right, so customers that aren't educated into the measurable impact that leveraging social in a way that's efficient can have on their business, they're not ready to be InsideView customers. You know, and we're fine. you know, not being kind of a one-size-fits-all sales application for everybody. I mean, there's some organizations that for the foreseeable future are going to live in this world of we need more leads, we need more names, our mm-hmm. sales reps need to make more phone calls. Those people aren't ready for intelligence, right? You know, on the other side of the spectrum, you know, we have people that have a very mature market, that have a very defined, well-defined customer base, and literally need to deal with competitive threats more than anything, right? Those people may not be seeing the low-hanging fruit and the ROI they can find from intelligence, right? So different sales organizations are different for a myriad of reasons. So we leverage the education outreach to try and get people to understand that there is value there. There is ROI. Mm-hmm. And then the people that do understand that there is ROI and are starting to play with tools independently, they can start to, you know, appreciate what it is we do. Mm-hmm. You don't appreciate the need to leverage social in your sales process. You're probably not
ready.
A good fit for us.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And we're fine with that.
Yeah. So now the whole idea around social selling is, so what, how would you describe that?
I would define social selling as a set of tools, processes, and behaviors that salespeople can leverage in either the top of the funnel mm-hmm. in finding new leads, or to leverage mid-funnel to help build out a sphere of influence, a political map, things that are, you know, pertinent to a methodology like Miller Hyman mm-hmm. within a given sales process. So, mm-hmm. But it's not a tool. It's not just you don't just make this determination that social selling is I'm going to start using LinkedIn tomorrow.
Right.
I'm going to go build a Twitter profile. It's more understanding that there is value in connectivity, understanding that you're more likely to get higher response rates if you connect with people that know you or have heard of you through a trusted connection, and also understanding that it's not a broadcast channel. Mm-hmm. It's not just, we used to yell at people through the phone, then we used email, and we hammered them with email to the point where they don't respond to email anymore. Okay, now we're going to go into social, and we're going to start yelling at them on social. Mm-hmm. It has to be an understanding of leveraging those tools to help increase our intelligence, so when we do have those conversations, we can have more relevant, meaningful impact to our prospects than somebody that's not.
Got it. So you're actually having an impact and changing that. So would you say a connection is equivalent or close to a relationship? So, I mean, it's about connections. Would it be about developing a relationship or just...
Well, the thing that we think about when we think of connections is we think of really what are the ways in which I can find and relate to my prospect. Those could be things like personal connections, okay. Right? You're LinkedIn connected with somebody. You're probably LinkedIn connected with somebody for a reason. Either you used to work with them, you used to do business with them, you went to college with them, you met them at a trade show. There's a common interest. The other thing that people need to think about is a connection type that we use a lot and we really hammer home with our clients, which are reference customers, mm-hmm. right? Reference yeah. customers are typically something that if you have them, great. You're doing a lot better than a lot of other people. But most people, the gathering and housing of reference customers is a marketing activity. It's something that will be used to put on a website. You typically see them in PowerPoint presentations yeah. at the end, you know, about us. And that's really where those end. We try and get our customers to think about their reference clients as potential referral points into new clients. Somebody's a reference customer for you. They probably like what you've done. They've probably seen a measurable impact in your product in their sales process. If they've done that and they're a reference customer, why wouldn't they promote you?
Right.
We just, as salespeople, don't typically ask. We don't think about our reference customers as an untapped source of referrals. So we think about connections in a few different dimensions,
mm-hmm.
but really coming back to the end of the day, we use the research that came out in 2005 and it was republished in 2007 that came out of the University of North Carolina's Keenan Flagler School of Business, which is essentially these graduate students did interviewed a bunch of senior executives and they said, under what circumstances would you respond to a cold call? And they had, you know, always, sometimes, you know, neutral, you know, never, you know, almost never or never. Mm-hmm. And they asked them in those dimensions about typical mediums of communication, which was a cold call. The other one was a cold call followed up by an email, right? So you're starting to do multiple touch. And every time that you do multiple touch, you see the response rates begin to increase.
Mm-hmm.
The highest one was a referral from within the company. So if I'm a senior executive, VP of sales, for example, and one of my colleagues internally tells me to take a look at Inside View, mm-hmm. I'm probably going to do it.
Right.
The second highest response rate was referral outside of the company. So that would be, you know, Brian's working with Inside View. Steve Cadley recommends me to a client that he's working with. That client's probably, you know, maybe not as likely if somebody from within the company told he or her to do it, but much more likely than a cold call. So we start to think about connections as different connection types,
mm-hmm.
but also the type of response rates and the increase in success in connecting with people if we just get people to use them.
No, absolutely. It makes sense. And as you were saying that, the types of connections, it made sense, particularly around referrals. You know, I think about some of my referral clients that I would use as a referral source, but not necessarily would I think about asking them to refer me in, right? Or just have them on my list, right? Here's my capabilities. Here's about me. Here's what I've done business with. But not necessarily would I ask them, hey, would you do an introduction? That's really what we're, now that I have that information, now I know I can ask, okay, would you do that introduction for me?
Absolutely. I talked a little bit about reading books earlier. And a great partner of ours is a woman by the name of Joanne Black. She wrote a book called No More Cold Calling.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire premise of the book is to get people to think about, she talks about something called the referral wheel, which is draw yourself a circle with a bunch of circles, almost like a clock, and think about all of the places that you can ask for referrals, right? And people typically go, okay, well, I can ask for my existing customers. I can, mm-hmm. and people really have a hard time filling out that wheel because we don't think about our interactions of people on airplanes, of people that we know through church or other organizations as sources
Absolutely.
Of referrals.
So I think about that as a referral, and I thought, and as we go through here, and I wanted to have Eileen chime in here a little bit, and so Eileen, I know that. Well, welcome to the show, by the way. We haven't even got a chance to introduce you to you. So what we're going to ask you to do is before I ask you to answer the question, and I'll rephrase it in a moment, just tell us a little bit about Eileen and Lee Hecht Harrison. So,
okay. Well, I work at Lee Hecht Harrison. We're a global provider of talent development. And so we help people to be better at their jobs and help people connect to jobs. So it's a very fun industry.
So is it about employee morale or is it about, how would you describe it?
A lot of it is around how to be a better leader.
Ah, okay,
leadership
development.
Which leads to employee morale, because if you have a better leader, then you're going to be more inspired, engaged, hopefully perform better, sell more.
Interesting. And so now, do you work in the benefits section or who's your customers or your prospects inside of an organization?
The top person in HR,
okay.
Typically.
So that's kind of, and they're very much about employee morale. That makes sense.
Yes.
Good. So what we're talking about, and we have, Brian, as you know, Brian Backoffner from Inside View. And as you've been listening for during this conversation, Inside View is basically a sales intelligence tool. But one of the things that Brian just brought up, and I just wanted to reiterate around the referral idea. So is that something... You know, I know you're in sales and you're selling this to HRs. Is referrals a big component, a way that you think about the sales process?
Oh, definitely. Because, you know, obviously it's hard to get to the top of HR in any organization. So a lot of it is around who you know, who knows you, who can introduce you to who. And a lot of it is about going to events, being involved, much like ASTD, SHRM, and getting to those leaders who can then introduce you to other leaders. Most of what I've been able to do has been through connections.
Hmm. So a little bit of where we're going around the social selling idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so a tool like Inside View that shares, and if I'm stealing your thunder, Brian, you can shoot me later, the idea around you're connecting inside of the tool itself, Inside View, in the team model is where you would have everyone on a sales team connected and saying, here's my clients, here's where I've worked, And then you would be able to see who I'm connected with or who might be inside my organization connected to, let's say, Home Depot, for example. Is that kind of how it would work?
That's right. And it doesn't necessarily need to be. If we're going to start thinking about connections as a way to help us be more effective and increase our response rates to our outreach to start to fill the top of the funnel, it's not a, well, we need to buy Inside View, right? I think that's a set of behaviors that people need to deploy internally, and then our application can help them really turn the screws on that. But typically, again, what we challenge people in the industry to think about is to think about, you know, referral sources and to start, you know, I'm holding your business card, Steve, and to stop thinking about people as just the data that you see on their card, mm-hmm. but really developing a fully formulated view of that prospect. And the connections is a very significant piece of that.
Sure.
It may not be the only piece. I may not have a connection to every single person that I need to sell to in my geographic territory. You know, maybe I'm a sales rep that's assigned to the Pacific Northwest where I've never sold before, right? That's going to happen to a lot of people in inside sales. You're just going to get arbitrarily assigned, you know, all across the country. So my LinkedIn network is going to be very weak. It's not going to help me sell a lot. But if we think about a collaborative corporate social network and everybody's collective LinkedIn networks and all the places that they've used to work, all of their reference customers as well as our company's reference customers, then all of a sudden I've got more ammunition. I've got more shots on goal to have the opportunity to find reference connections and to find connections in a territory where, again, if I'm just thinking about LinkedIn very singularly, LinkedIn's not going to help me sell in the Pacific Northwest, but
got it.
Somebody that's sold in the Northwest that I'm connected to as an employee, well, all of a sudden, yeah, I get the benefit of his or her network.
Good. So, and I think about that, and I see that makes perfect sense, all right, to a generation that I think is coming of into a leadership role and making an impact in corporate America today. I see there's a cultural divide around that idea. We're seeing where I'm not going to share my cons. There's a generation here, as I'm thinking about it, it's going to have a little bit of hesitancy to share and connect because I don't want to leverage my connections because I may lose power of that. Just a thought. I'm thinking about that. So I'm wondering, has that been something that you've run into? And I see, you know, Eileen, you're shaking your head over here.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that a lot, and it is definitely among the older generations. They say, you know, they don't want to connect with you on LinkedIn. And I've actually heard people say, I've worked hard for those connections. I'm not going to connect, because as if the fact that they're connected on LinkedIn is going to do something other than just show me who they're connected to, because I would still have to, you can find out that information on any one source, who's in what position. But I've definitely seen that. And it's unfortunate because both people lose out on a lot of opportunities potentially.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I can see that there's a change, but I can see that would be influencing. I think back to how those norms are changing, and I could see the power. I see the power of Inside View. You know, I'm a big fan. I'm an evangelist for you guys. Anyways,
right.
All right. It's a spoiler alert, right? So
paid endorsement by.
Yeah, that's right. I need a gong here, right?
I'm handing Steve money across the you can't see.
But I still see it as, I mean, the power of that idea is so influential and so impactful around collaboration, because I think that's the norm of social media, is about collaboration. And I see a generational gap where a lot of the tools that support collaboration and effective social selling ideas can get lost in that generational resistance, if you will.
Yeah, so I actually think it's a different problem.
Okay,
I don't think
good.
It's necessarily, I agree with you, Eileen, that the older generation is maybe more built around the culture of privacy. But I look at the sales organizations that are growing, and I look at the sales function that across the industry is growing is really inside sales.
Wow.
You know, that's seeing the largest growth, year over year growth, as far as where people are putting funding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of, you know, not to overly simplify or generalize, but I think of the type of roles that are typically filled in inside sales are traditionally the more junior roles. You know,
right.
Again, just historically, it's been that way. You know, maybe your second or third job on a college, maybe your first, maybe your second sales job. you know, those kids, and I use that term loosely, you know, the Generation Y is under 29. That's really the breaking point. So I'm just on the other end of that as a Gen Xer. It's interesting. They know how to use social. They know how to use social better than anybody ever before them. Knew how to use it. Their issue is that they don't know how to sell. Right. So we've got this generation of X and above that has really kind of, you know, battle hardened and scarred. We've learned methodology and we've learned process and we've learned through trial and error what makes an effective salesperson. We maybe don't know how to use social so well, but we know how to do all the other stuff. The younger generation, they call them the trophy generation because they want continual reinforcement and recognition. I start to talk about social selling to them. I'm like, well, dude, and I use that term with quotes, I do that already, right? Their Absolutely. Problem is, you know, they know how to use the tool. They just don't know how to have a relevant conversation about business issues. They don't know how to ask questions to help develop a vision for what it is that you're trying to help solve. So I think there's a huge opportunity for companies like Miller Hyman that are in the sales training industry to look at social selling, to look at the younger generation, to say they need to learn how to sell versus how to use social media.
Yep. No, I agree. And this is the convergence point. I see that overlap. And that is, go back to not picking on any one organization, but I think it's an industry. You're seeing these the influence and how social media and in part large part I could see Inside View starting to make a change and an impact in culture, in the social culture of selling. Around, I think back to Facebook. I think about, you know, early on in the HR community, think about this, Eileen, as we were talking HR, you would be screened for getting a job by looking at your Facebook page. If you had pictures on your Facebook page that you didn't want to have seen or that someone at a different generation might have thought was inappropriate, that could work against you in that job app. Now we're starting to see where that's not being, legally can't be that much of an issue. But also, it's changing. If you don't want that person because of a picture, that's a skill set that person brings to the table that your company needs now. And no one else in the company knows how to do that, you're going to have to change your corporate norms. I'm seeing how Facebook has started to change that because you're seeing a generation, Generation Y, the trophy generation. They've grown up in a transparent world. They've lived their life on Facebook. They grew up with Facebook. So you've seen them grow into now being in corporate America, being in sales, whatever that might be. Their expectation is when they get into corporate America that the executive team and that the organization will be as transparent to them as their life has been transparent to the corporation. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and definitely I saw an article in the New York Times not too long ago about how those norms that people were looking at Facebook and saying, you know, this person has pictures with beer or what have you, and ruling that person out. Now they're actually saying a predictor of how well someone will do at a company is that well-rounded person. So having pictures with lots of friends and maybe even partying is not seen as a black mark, but as a well-rounded individual who is more likely to be successful at this organization.
All right, so now wait a minute. Let's get this straight. So if I'm a good partier and I can put back the beer, I am more valuable to the organization. You heard it here on Business Radio X First, folks.
Obviously not on the extreme side, but it's definitely not a black mark against you anymore.
Well, I mean, how do you teach leaders this?
You have other black marks against you, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. How do you teach leaders? I mean, when you've got this Gen X and even prior who they understand how to sell and they get that side of it, but they're trying to lead people with technologies that they don't understand as well as the people they're trying to lead. How do you advise these guys?
Well, some companies are actually doing reverse mentoring. So you take the younger generation and you partner them with an older person. So in this case, someone who's very effective in sales but may not know about social media. Partner those two together. And the younger person teaches the older person and vice versa. And we've seen companies have a lot of success with that. So that's a new trend we're seeing.
Hmm. And how is this? I'm assuming that the reverse mentoring has to only works if that person that's being mentored to, the older generation, is receptive.
Oh, right. Yeah, it has to be part of the culture of your organization.
Hmm. Interesting.
Another thing that we see is that really, if you're a sales professional, that's what we're, you know, we're talking to is salespeople and sales leaders here, is that is your that is your brand online, right? Your what you have on Facebook, you know, how complete your LinkedIn profile is, et cetera. You know, we think that we only look at our prospects' profile on LinkedIn before we cold call them or we try and connect with them and sell them something. Well, the inverse is true as well, is that before I go on a sales call and I meet somebody for the first time, I go look at my who's looked at your profile on LinkedIn, and what do you know, somebody that I'm going to sit down with and meet with and trying to sell something to, this is a prior role, has looked at my LinkedIn profile. Right, sure. They're looking at me to see if I'm credible. What type of experience do I have? Who am I connected to? So they're doing a quote-unquote health check on you as a sales professional, as somebody that would they want to do business with you as a representative of your company. So that's why I think it's very important, especially for you know older people that don't have a picture on LinkedIn, that may not have any connections. You need to do that reverse mentoring.
Anybody who doesn't have a picture, it's
a red flag.
It's a red flag for me. Absolutely, red flag. I think about that. But also, I think I'll add to that the context of that comment, Brian, following your tweets. You know, you were shopping and very bummed when you couldn't buy those salmon pants
right.
at your favorite web store. I can't remember what that name is. You want to give it a shout out? I can't remember.
Bonobos.com.
There you go. And I said, any guy who's willing to wear salmon pants, he's all right. I got to work with this guy. So, absolutely. He gives you context around. I have a story around. Now I'm building a story. You know, it was all wrong. I'm not sure I would do it.
I'm wearing crimson pants today versus salmon pants.
Well, I don't know if Steve can take such a shot at you because Steve, like myself, grew up in the tough skin generation, and denim was not the most popular color of tough skins.
Yeah, it wasn't, and also but there was very limited colors in my husky size that I had to wear.
Husky.
Yeah, the worst thing is the tag said husky right on the back pocket. Right, right? Yeah, like right. Like you didn't already know.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
I wore them too. I'm with you.
So, all right. Anyway, we have gone around a lot of different interesting topics, and we've been talking about social selling, and with that, I come back around. If you had someone coming in, Generation Y, at any age, entering the world of sales, and I ask this to both of you, what kind of counsel or advice would you give them?
I think if it was somebody that was from this next generation and this next generation of salespeople being anywhere probably from 23 to 29 years old, I would really say it's not about you. Everything else in your life has been about you. Sales is not about you. It's really about your customer. And to be genuine. I think those are really the two things that I kind of take as my philosophy is make it about them and really genuinely try and help somebody. I think if you can make that part of your philosophy for the way that you deal with customers, all the other stuff that you're going to deal with in your sales career will just kind of figure itself out.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. It's not always about what you can get from someone. And if you approach things more in terms of what you can give, after a period of time, it might take a little longer, but things start to come back to you one after the other, and it makes it a lot more effective, and you've built a relationship that lasts. That's someone that you can say, contact this person as a reference. Right. That's someone who's going to tell their friends, hey, if you need this, call Eileen. So I think that's really important these days, especially when you have the inside sales. If you're talking about outside sales, building that relationship is very valuable and important.
So you heard. So really, relationship, authentic. And it don't be selfish.
And I think as it relates to social media and social selling, LinkedIn, all of those type of things, I think that people need to understand that they need to give with no expectation of a direct response back.
Yes.
If you give enough, then eventually you'll get. But just because you give somebody a piece of information or you share something you think is valuable, it doesn't necessarily grant you the ability to sell something to them.
Sure.
Right? Because it's that same thing. It's just done in a different channel.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you guys this question. Do you find that it's beneficial in that connecting stage to pick something other than your business to try to connect about? For example, Brian, you and I were chatting beforehand, and you were telling me about your running. You've done some half marathons, and you're working your way up to a full marathon, which to me I instantly connected to because of some of the training that I've done. And I feel like we've got somewhat of a rapport level right there and a place to connect and build a relationship from. Are you guys finding that same type thing that it's easier to connect with people about an interest, a hobby, a background, something non-business related?
That's typically how I connect with people. Around something completely different. It might be business related, but not necessarily my business. It might be a group that we both belong to, or some event that we both went to, or any number of things. If I know they're a musician, or if I know they're an artist, whatever the case may be, definitely.
That gets it out of the room. Because you have a nonprofit that you're very involved with also,
yeah,
Eileen.
Yeah.
You want to say, what's that nonprofit name?
It's called the Alliance for Children Everywhere, and it works with women and children in Zambia. So we have about 5 schools, and we also have an orphanage to try to help people help themselves. Hmm. So sustainability is highly important, and education, of course. It's all about education.
So that when in connecting and meeting people, it may not be the way you would tie it into business, but it's something outside of business that you might build some relationships.
Oh, definitely.
And some referrals from, right? I mean,
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Annie, to answer your question, it's our CEO just mentioned this on Monday. He goes, like, you know, again, as a small business owner, you know, we're a relatively small but fast-growing company. You know, a lot of people want to sell the CEO of InsideView something. And somebody asked him that question, said, you know, do you get turned off? Do you get put off if somebody mentions something? He's a big bike rider. He's from the death race. He's a big, you know, F1 fan. He's from Italy. You know, how do you view that? And he says, well, you know, if I get 100 emails, if I get 100 phone calls, only 2 of those people are doing that. So those 2 people are at least differentiating themselves in some way, because everybody else is just calling me with a script. Right, so I still think that we're in the infancy of leveraging social, that it's going to be uniquely differentiating for a while. Although if you're just leading with personal and you don't have anything business, that's going to be a law of diminishing returns. I don't think that'll work forever. Right, so I could talk to you, we could talk about running, but it would probably have to be something that I would introduce organically in the conversation, right, in the scope of a business conversation, versus, hey, I heard that you do triathlons, and then go into my pitch. Right. It doesn't flow. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
It's disingenuous, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's disingenuous. Yeah. So.
Good. I like that. That's a good conversation. Well, with that, I think we will wrap it up, and we'll bring it another wonderful show of Atlanta Sales Talk Radio to a close. And this is Steve Cadley signing off. And I want to remind everybody that everyone's in sales. And until next time, happy selling.